Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today we're taking a look at the business news that helped shape our community in 2017. Business reporters Maria Altman and Wayne Pratt join me in studio. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thanks for having
us. Good to see you. Maria, let me start with you. As you look back on 2017, what comes into sharpest focus in the business world?
Well, you know, I think it was a year of talking about stadiums. First, you know, the soccer stadium and a bid to have a Major League Soccer team here, and that failed. And then also the Scott trade and what's been happening with that as the Blues work to get renovations done there. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting year in terms of sports teams and efforts to get great stadiums here in St. Louis.
Sports always gets a lot of attention in this town,
needless
to say. Wayne, how about you?
Well, picking up on where Maria left off, it was interesting this year at how many business stories had tentacles that reached into other beats and so forth. A lot with the Scott trade stuff, a lot of that was political and legal. Also the protests after the Stockley verdict and how that may have impacted our economy, that also went into several other areas of the newsroom and so forth. So keeping track of that was a bit more of a challenge than usual this year.
The Stockley protests are interesting because that was the purpose of the protest movement, was to disrupt the economy somehow. Do we have any sense as to whether or not that has been working?
Well, you know, it was definitely right after the verdict came down. There was there were concerts that were canceled, the U2 concert, Ed Sheeran, and that had a pretty big impact because that meant 100,000 people not coming into downtown St. Louis. I was never able to get really hard numbers on what that impact was. Of course, there was some property damage in that first weekend and as well in the Del Mar Loop and in the Central West End. But it was different from Ferguson in the sense of that it wasn't concentrated. It wasn't at the same place. You know, all those protests moved around. And when I talked with a WashU economist, you know, a few months ago, he said really the impact was it was not big. What he likened to maybe a snowstorm over a weekend, meaning, you know, people didn't come out, didn't shop. So not as big of an impact as maybe the protesters wanted.
And Wayne, it's hard to make a calculation on something like that didn't happen. For instance, you close down the Galleria for an hour. You can't really calculate very well what was lost.
I'm sure the owners of the Galleria probably have some number crunchers who do come up with some sort of estimate that they won't make public. But as Maria was saying once again, some concerts being canceled downtown, that's a hit, but probably just a drop in the bucket. I know I was at the Billy Joel concert around that time, which was after Ed Sheeran and U2, I think, were the ones that were canceled. And protesters were outside Busch Stadium. I was inside the stadium. I didn't know they were there until I got home and saw the news reports later that night. So I know they tried to make a dent from an economic standpoint, but it may have been more of just an inconvenience to people who may have been perceived as too comfortable in their lives here in the St. Louis area.
And there's always the possibility that some people, entertainers perhaps, decide not to come to St. Louis for this very reason.
Right. Future impact, it could be bigger. But and again, very hard to sort of, for us on the outside, knowing, you know, are there conferences that aren't coming to St. Louis? Mm-hmm. Are there entertainers who say, no thanks, I don't want to go there?
Speaking of future consequences, one of the big stories that I see in your beats is the prospect of Amazon coming to St. Louis. Now, most of the people that I've heard from say it ain't going to happen in St. Louis. But why not? I mean, it could.
Yeah. I mean, I think many, many different cities across North America are you know, trying to get land this one. A $5 billion headquarters, HQ2, as they're calling it, and 50,000 employees eventually. I mean, it's a huge, it would be wow to land that here. You know, there were three different bids from Missouri. St. Louis, as a region, working with Illinois, which was great to see, Kansas City, and then the state, which offered an unusual take on things, a sort of an innovation district from St. Louis all the way to Kansas City and relying on the Hyperloop, the very fast train system. Very futuristic.
Nice way to put it. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And maybe a question mark. Will St. Louis or Kansas City or the state as a whole land it? It's a stretch. And it's a stretch because of not having an airport that is a major hub, which Amazon said they wanted.
Wait a minute. We've got an airline now that is flying to Reykjavik.
Yeah.
What do you mean
Iceland, anytime
hub?
You want to go.
Everybody wow, I know who's been to Iceland loves it.
That is true. I've heard the same. So it was always going to be a stretch, but you can't pass up an opportunity to at least try.
If they didn't try, the city leaders, the regional leaders would have probably been hit harder from critics. Mm-hmm. Compared to if they just would have left it alone. I think this boils down to what Amazon is looking for and the impact they really want to make with HQ2. Do they want to come to an area that could really use it, that's had some hard economic times like here in the St. Louis area or other places in the Midwest, and make an impact and you'll be, I guess, king of the economy here for a while or when you get up to the 50,000? Or are you looking for that more sexy locale that – further entrenches your reputation on the edge of an innovative economy? Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to get a sense from Amazon or so-called pundits or experts on this as to what Amazon is looking for. But I think that's what it will boil down to. Do they really want to help out a region or an area that could really use it, or do they just want to further entrench their reputation?
That's a very interesting point, because I think back on what brought NGA to North St. Louis was the fact that President Obama, the administration, apparently wanted to put it someplace where it would have an urban impact.
Right. A combination of having a major impact on a region that really needed it. Mm. But, you know, there's also that other side of it, of being close to Cortex and close to, you know, in Washington University and St. Louis University, and tying in with that tech hub.
That Cortex thing is really quite a remarkable story for St. Louis, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, and it keeps chugging forward. They've had, you know, some minor setbacks recently with Tech Shop, the sort of market, the maker
the
space, going belly up. But they recouped right away. Jim McKelvey from Square stepped in and said, hey, this should keep going. And they're going to have another space in St. Louis starting next year sometime. And, you know, I was a little sad about Tim Hortons closing up shop in Cortex in downtown. I think, you know, Wayne might talk about that.
You just took my comment. That's an interesting case. It's not one of the biggest stories of the year, but the fact that that's going to be tied up in the courts because of the franchisee-franchisor disagreement will be interesting. And they shut down at least a couple of locations,
yes.
I think, since there was all that hoopla when they opened a couple of years ago. I think Cortex is important. I think most economies that are starting to come back do have some sort of location like that. Indianapolis is trying to launch two or three if they don't have them already, which is where I worked before I came to St. Louis, and they seem to be at the more of a forefront of that type of economy than St. Louis has been. But I think Cortex is vital to get to that point.
Mm. Now, are your feelings about Tim Horton based at all on your Canadian background?
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, grew up with it and the whole bit. But in that's a credit to that company, how entrenched they get into their communities up there. They sponsor all the minor hockey teams. At tournaments, they're giving parents free coffee. They're giving, you know, vouchers to come in after the games, and they're always out at community events. So beyond the jobs and beyond just coming in and saying, hey, we have a Tim Hortons here, usually they run very deep. The roots go very, very deep, and that's a credit to their whole philosophy.
Speaking of franchises – what do you think of this? I keep having trouble remembering Shake Shack. It's hard for me to say for some reason. What do you think about its impact here already? It's just been open for a week or two.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance. I hear that the lines are around the block practically.
A couple of weeks before it opened, my wife and I were in that area, and we were at another restaurant right across the street. And we looked at, oh, so that's where it's going. Well, we can't wait to come here. And then I saw the pictures on the first day and said, I'm waiting 6 months. Mm-hmm. But others, obviously not. I think that goes to the sexiness of the branding. Mm-hmm. I think it goes to the fact that no matter where you are, no matter what city you're in, people want to be cool. Mm-hmm. And having a Shake Shack here somewhat makes an element of St. Louis cool, and everybody wants to be part of it, and it's good for business in that area as well as that franchise.
Yeah, and there's a St. Louis connection, obviously, with the ownership, so that makes a little bit of a difference here. Let's talk about some of the big boys in the news during the past year. I guess it was December of last year, just about a year ago, that the Bayer-Monsanto merger was announced.
Right.
So that's last year's news, except that it's not.
Yeah, it still goes on.
It'll be next year's news, too.
Where are we in that?
The European Commission is still looking into it. They announced, maybe a couple of months ago now that they're going to take an even deeper look into antitrust issues and how it would relate to the countries in Europe. I'm told that is not out of the ordinary for big deals like this. They're taking their time. They want to make sure everything lines up. We do expect this to close sometime early in the new year. Originally, it was going to be January. Last I heard, it was mid-February, maybe. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if that goes into the spring. But it's really going to happen. And the two things I'll be watching for, that buzzword, synergies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How does that impact employee totals? I think we'll be okay here in St. Louis, but what about other outlets here in the country? And also, is the Monsanto name going to go away? We keep hearing rumblings about that. Nobody will say for sure, but nobody comes out and completely denies it. That will be fascinating to watch. Now, maybe somebody at Monsanto is listening now, and I'll have an email when I get out of here denying it. I don't know, but that's something I'm going to be looking for.
Yeah, when you talk about synergy, what we're talking about is duplication of jobs, and you don't need two controllers, for instance. You don't need two of this or two of that. Yeah, so all righty. What else? What else can we talk about that is of special interest to you?
Well,
guys?
Thinking about acquisitions, I think Panera was an interesting acquisition, and being bought by JAB Holdings, the owners of Krispy Kreme and Caribou Coffee, a private company. They've said that the 700 jobs that are in Sunset Hills will remain there, but we've already seen the CEO Ron Shaich step down earlier this fall, and I don't know that that was a huge surprise, it'll be interesting to see if all those employees stay.
Yeah, I've seen nothing that would suggest that the I guess what would now serve as just the headquarters for that unit of JAB would stay in Sunset Hills. The Ron Shaich thing was interesting because it was announced around the same time, maybe even on the same day, if my memory serves, as Panera reacquiring, and I'm going to say this wrong, Au Bon Pain.
Right.
Hopefully I got it right.
The Canadian.
I grew up on the Quebec border. That's the way we would say it up there. Down here, it might be something different. I thought it was interesting that around the time that deal was announced that Ron ended up leaving the company, or at least they announced he was leaving the company. But really no surprise considering how solid in that business space JAB really is, that they have the expertise already on staff to handle a job like that. At least that's what they will tell you. And so Ron just decided to move on to other challenges.
You know, a funny story. Some years ago, I was in an Office Depot buying something, and there's a woman ahead of me in line carrying a bunch of envelopes and the kinds of things you buy at Office Depot. We got to talking, and it turns out she is the wife of the St. Louis Bread Company, which means Panera, which means that was when they were just starting and billions of dollars weren't in the equation at this point. She was doing the shopping herself.
I'm glad you mentioned billions of dollars because we throw around these companies' names and we talk about these stories and sometimes we lose track of really what's involved in all this here. It's not just a matter of let's sit down and let's hash this out over a cup of coffee or go somewhere and write on napkins and have a couple of beers. This is a lot of money. This is a lot of people's lives that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle when these stories get reported.
The minimum wage issue was a big issue during the course of the year here in the city of St. Louis and eventually statewide as well. Looks like voters will probably have a chance to vote on that again. Minimum wage is a big deal for the city of St. Louis, having it drop from $10 or so down $7.85.
Right. And, you know, it was on its way up to around $11 next year if the state hadn't stepped in and said, no, you can't raise it above the state level. It was interesting. I mean, and this happened right as the Slay administration, he was leaving and Mayor Lyda Crewson was taking over. She made the decision not to file a lawsuit against the state over this. There's and from what I gathered from Rachel Lippman, our legal expert, that wasn't a suit that the city would have necessarily won. But, yeah, it was an interesting thing to watch as the state stepped into what was very much a city issue and what city voters had said, yes, we want a higher minimum wage.
At its core, I find this debate fascinating because businesses, obviously, they try to keep track of their bottom line and not increase their costs too much. But how are you going to get the well-trained workers or the workers you have, how are you going to train them and then keep them unless you start paying them more money? And if people keep leaving, then that negatively impacts your bottom line. But if you start paying people more money, the bottom line, it's just fascinating to me to see how this all plays out. I think if you look at several other communities in the country whose economies may be if you look at it as a U and they're starting to come back up at that bottom, it's interesting. I can't think of one right now, but it's interesting to see where their minimum wages are or are expected to go in relation to where they are in that U-shaped economy model.
Well, there are a lot of states that are ahead of Missouri, for sure, with their minimum wage. And I think that Missouri, as Don, you mentioned, we're going to be looking at that, whether a higher minimum wage voters will go for it here.
I want to backtrack a little bit because we have a caller here who may have some insight into the impact of the Stock League protests on businesses in Clayton. Let's bring in Sharon very quickly, please. Sharon, go ahead. You're on the air. Are you there, Sharon?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Very quickly, please.
Yeah, I have a business in downtown Clayton, and I believe in the demonstrations. And I even participated, but when you made the remark that there wasn't a huge impact, our small businesses around really were impacted. There were people that was calling, is it okay to come in? And I could just see on the streets that people did avoid Clayton for probably almost a month in terms of making it a destination. So we did have an impact. And then I had one more.
Very quickly, please.
With Tim Hortons coming to the area, I was excited. I tried it, and real coffee lovers here in St. Louis that actually put cream in their coffee, they don't have real cream. They use the artificial stuff.
I think you need to email them.
Sharon, thank you so much for the call. She makes a good point. You know, we tend to talk a lot about the big businesses and the Galleria as an entity. And it's the little guy and the little gal out there who really gets hurt when any kind of a disruption takes place in what's going on. Okay, time's winding down. Let's look ahead to next year. What are you looking for, Maria?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, obviously the Monsanto Bayer situation, what's going to happen with that? It'll be interesting also to see what happens with the pesticide dicamba, because they've had a lot of problems with that and drift and killing crops that are not resistant to the pesticide. We'll see Ballpark Village in its second phase begin to rise. I think Centene, we're going to see some action with them as well in Clayton, if I'm not mistaken.
Expansion plans.
Right.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I haven't been over there in a while, but I know they're moving forward with that big expansion, which a bunch of residents were trying to oppose late last year and early this year. I'm going to be watching Express Scripts. I think that's going to be fascinating. If they are going to make a major move, especially when you consider this planned CVS-Aetna merger, which was announced recently, and also there's that specter of Amazon hanging over the pharmacy industry. It'll be interesting if that forces Express Scripts to make a move, whether it's something that would prepare them to compete with an Amazon or even link up with an Amazon. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be something to watch.
Well, what about soccer, Major League Soccer? I mean, we can't stop talking about soccer simply because it doesn't happen.
Maybe you've heard it as well, but apparently there's this mysterious Plan B that's out there that comes up from time to time, but nobody can give details about it. It'll be interesting to see if anything comes up on that front. And a lot of people said that the door is not all the way shut on a possible MLS expansion franchise for the area. If it's open, it's just very, very small, the opening. So that'll be good to watch.
It's always struck me as odd that everyone talks about what a great soccer town St. Louis is. And it is. It's got a great tradition. But it has never really been able to support a professional soccer franchise.
Well, and in this case, it is the stadium, and that's an expensive proposition, and you got to weigh that with everything else a community needs. And for a lot of people, it just may not be on their list of priorities at this point.
I think there's stadium fatigue, Maria, in the city of St. Louis.
That's a great way to put it.
I think that's true. I think it was poor timing.
Anything else to add before we say goodbye?
I'm also going to watch U.S. Steel. It's been hanging out there for a few years. They do have some operations back up in Granite City, but eventually they're going to have to make a decision on what they're going to do with that massive property there in Granite City. That will be something to watch, especially considering the Trump administration and the White House and their attitude toward foreign steel dumping.
I'm just reminded by our producer that we do have professional soccer in St. Louis, but it's not at the level.
Not the top flight.
That people would hope for. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank
Great
you.
To see
Thanks,
you.
Tom.
Have a wonderful holiday, Maria Altman and Wayne Pratt. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.